This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, and I hope you're ready for the coldest day so far. I mean, I'm guessing there was this thing that was sent out. I don't know if people do this because they like making other people afraid or miserable or whatever it is. But there was this warning sent out. You know, the warning with lots of emoticons. This is on WhatsApp. Sunday is going to be the coldest day ever. It's going to be freezing. People are going to die in the streets. And swimming pools will frost over. And the white walkers will come from the north. And they will take over the country. And you know what I'm talking about, right?
Small print. It'll be like any other day in June that you've ever experienced in your whole bloody life.
Exactly.
Ben has made his triumphant return. Look at this.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, back.
Indeed. It's time for a little fanfare. So let's do this properly. Leanne is stuck in some kind of accident on the highway or whatever, but here's Ben's triumphant music for his return. You know, you only realize it's like when you die and people pitch up at your funeral.
Yeah.
And you think, wow, those people really liked me, but you're dead, so it gives you no pleasure.
Well,
you only
realize
when you're gone that people like you. Ben got a lot of positive emails and feedback over the last week or two. We're missing Ben. Why isn't Ben there?
Well, it was bronchitis. Just to have one word to answer that question,
yes,
there it is.
Right. There it is.
Simple as that.
Don't worry about it. At least you're back now.
Yeah, my bronchioles were itising.
Right. Yeah. You've got bronchitis, like that woman from the what was it? The
Iran.
I ran for my life, and then the smoke got me. I got bronchitis.
That's kind of what I sounded like all last week. It's rough.
What sort of medicine were you on? Did they give you pills? Did they give you? Because you can't breathe. That's essentially the problem.
Yeah, it's Gareth, it's so bad. I was having these coughing fits where I felt like I was suffocating.
Ugh.
And Miles was just staring at me like, that is so annoying. Stop it. So I was basically holed up in quarantine in a spare room for like 10 days. Because I was kind of sick before this. I had flu or I had some sort of cold. And then it got worse and worse. And then I tried to go on a golfing weekend where I failed miserably. I came back and
where was this golfing weekend? Was it
Iceland.
Out of town?
Iceland.
Oh, shit.
So then as soon as I landed back on the Monday, the public holiday, I went to essentially a travel clinic because no one's open on a public holiday, right?
No.
So I go to some place where it's painted like an aquarium, which was the first thing that looked a bit fruity. I had a delightful doctor who basically took one look at me and said, yeah, you just need to maybe stay at home for a while because I looked like really just dreadful. She was asking me about my life and what I do. And she's like, yeah, this isn't going well. But don't worry, you're still young. And as she says you're still young, she kind of looks at my chart where it says 38. She goes, kind of.
Oh, fuck.
She really made it out like I was really in a bad place. And I was. Like, I was just dying. So, yeah, antibiotics, all those other wonderful things that go with it, and lots of rest. But I couldn't sleep for 3 days because I was just coughing endlessly.
Ugh.
Yeah, it was dreadfully
unsexy. Your back is almost...
It just feels like I've been beaten up by about 27 persistent midgets because I've got like just sore ribs and...
No, they wouldn't reach that high though.
Well, of course they would be on top of their shoulders. But like it's not like overly sore. It's just like this dull sort of pain around my whole body.
Ugh.
Like I haven't been hit hard. It's been hit relentlessly.
You know, I actually did something this weekend that I haven't ever done before. I stopped and was grateful for the fact that I wasn't sick.
Yeah.
You know, you never think about it when you're well. I was walking around and I thought, you know, it's cold. I had a pretty big night on Saturday night. I went out with some friends here in Joburg and it was really good. And I woke up yesterday morning and I felt good. I thought, this is so good because you never do that in winter. You always wake up with that dry, you know, especially after a big night. You feel all dried out and you think, oh, now I'm going to get sick. And it didn't happen. And I was just so happy about an obvious thing like that.
And you look positively radiant this morning.
I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
Feeling good. I had a nice
picture of health.
Yeah. Well, for now. But you know how winter comes. It comes and gets you.
Yeah.
Eventually. It gets everybody.
It
I think
does.
I started off early. I managed to get the worst of it out of the way right at the beginning. Because I had I was kind of blocked up for like 2 weeks. And I feel I have to apologize to everyone who had to listen to the show during those 2 weeks because I sounded terrible. Anyway, it's gone now.
I hear you.
And if you're feeling sick like Ben, and hopefully it doesn't get to the stage of bronchitis that it did with him, ugh.
Yeah, but you know, like everyone always says, oh, you know, the flu's really bad this year. Like people are getting crapping on about shit the same
really
old
every. Is.
But this year, like more than ever, people are really like, they're not just getting flu, they're getting like really bad flu and like bronchitis, pneumonia. And like something I've heard recently, actually Dr. Jonathan brought this up the other day with me, is that the air quality in Joburg might not be what it used to be. I've heard this from a variety of people now.
Well, if you have been in a plane recently and you've landed at OR Tambo, and even worse at Lanseria, because people make fires, right? We've got so much smoke in the air at the moment that's probably the biggest cause of it. It's not just pollution generally. And I mean, we do have, I don't think we've got great air quality anyway, but we seem to have a big problem at the moment with the amount of smoke from people just making fires, you know, in their houses and wherever. You know what it's like in this country. We burn anything we can for fuel in the winter.
Yeah.
I mean, Leanne was almost burnt herself.
Really?
By one of the members of her family. They just threw her onto the fire because they needed fuel.
I'm always the first to go.
Was there a problem on the highway or something? You sent me this video. Like red lights everywhere. It looked very dramatic.
I thought,
Leanne, you don't have to, I mean, you don't have to prove it. We believe you.
I had to send proof. did you notice how schmutzy my video was?
Yeah, what's that all about?
I had an incident with a tube of body moisturizer.
What, on your phone?
Yes.
On your windscreen?
I just thought that you were just an untidy, messy person.
No, I got a body moisturizer for my birthday.
Yeah?
Yesterday, decided to use it. Standing in my birthday suit in front of my dressing room mirror, started squeezing and noticed that pressure was building up inside.
Uh-oh.
And its asshole exploded.
Oh, gosh.
Because it still had that silver cap thing on it.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
And how hard
are you squeezing for the asshole of this thing to then burst?
Quite hard.
A strong grip you had, Leanne.
I was pretty determined.
Yeah, clearly.
The noise, you know, it sounded like, you know, and you blow up those liquid fruit containers and then drive over them.
Gugu thinks it's hilarious that you burst its arsehole.
I had schmutz.
He's laughing. He thinks that you called it the arsehole of a tube.
Yes, it was the tube's arsehole. The schmutz was all over. It was in my pillbox. It was all over my phone, the wall. I didn't have to squeeze any more out. I just used what was on the wall.
Ugh, you know what, that's bad, but it's worse when it bursts in your bag and you don't know. Like, I've got a little bag
like
that I put my laptop in. Yeah. And then you land on the other side and you're like, whoa, hang on, what the hell happened? There's a crime scene in my bag.
Let me use some water. Oh no, there's soap. There were bubbles.
Shit. Yeah, I mean, what do you do with like a leather bag? You just have to wipe it out, right?
Yeah.
That's all you can
keep
do.
Keep wiping.
Oh. Anyway, how was your weekend?
It was good. Bit of a shock with the cold yesterday, but as we saw from the emoji-fied WhatsApp, it wasn't that bad in the end.
No, I mean, really, people are hysterical. Everything has to be dramatic these days for, you know, and people, for some reason, they rely on the weather for drama, which means you don't have problems.
It's really, a very good point.
You do not have problems. If you are so obsessed with the weather and you think that a weather event is going to come and get you, you are living in a first world country with first world problems, and you really have nothing to bitch about. Am I right?
Yeah.
Spot on.
It's like when you catch yourself speaking about the weather to someone, it's like, oopsie.
Then you know you're old as well.
What's like the first half hour of the show every single day?
Yeah.
Old people, that's what we do.
Or Capetonian.
No, we were just catching up on Ben and his brown catters.
I'm so glad to see you're back, Ben.
Well, thanks, Leanne. Yeah, I'm back.
I have great sympathy. I was hospitalized a year ago with the same thing.
Oh, gosh. Actually in the hospital with the bronchitis.
Yeah, I had to have nebulizers and...
Yeah. So you actually were brave. You fought it out without going to hospital.
Look, I had bronchitis light. It was a week of my life.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. A week. I'd get miserable if I'm in bed for a day.
Well, I was miserable after day one, yeah. Ugh. It's the next six, I was absolute joy.
All right, so we're all strong this morning. Are you ready for for a criticism on email? I think it's mostly for me, but let's go ahead.
Well, Gareth, obviously.
We'll take it as a team. We'll take the highs and the lows together.
All right, so you ready? Hey, Gareth. Ish, I've been listening to the podcast on the Honesty Shop in Melville. Do you remember we were talking about this Honesty Shop that opened up? And I said, it's going to be robbed.
Yes, you because said it wouldn't last.
No, that's what people are like. And if you didn't hear it, that's the gist of it. So this person, Fern is her name. I think Fern's written to us before. Anyway, Fern says, I find it incredibly disingenuous when you label the whole South African nation bad. For fuck's sake, she says. There are bad people among us, but there's no doubt. There are far more really good people. Our government is a clusterfuck, but making blanket statements like that, not cool. And by the way, is the rest of the world perfect? No. Yet you're continually denigrating us. Just stop it. Every day there are instances of South Africans doing amazing things for each other. I reckon you need to join Brent Lindekew's Good Things Guy page to regain your equilibrium. Seriously, Fern.
Yeah, that's all you, actually.
It's all really for me.
It's all yours.
There's no criticism. You guys want to back out of this one, or are you going to stand up for me?
Dear Fern, it's age. Lovely Anne.
No, it's not age. I think we are shit people, and I'm going to stand up for this because, of course, you can't judge things on the people you know and like. And the fact that stories like Brent Lindekew's Good Things Guy page, he has to dig around. You know how hard that guy works to find good things?
Very.
You know why? Because most people are pretty shit. You go out in the streets of Melville, for example. I mean, Leanne, like, you live there, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's some terrible things. People are knifing pensioners and, you know, raping nuns and drinking petrol and setting people's houses on fire. And
that's just in my street.
That's just in your street. And I'm not going to take this back. I feel like we all could improve, including me. You know, I sometimes drive past these guys who stand at the robots. And what else are you going to do? You can't help everybody. But I think, you know, that they, in a good society, in a good world, there wouldn't be people standing at the robots begging. Because they'd have meaningful employment.
Well,
they'd have something to do. They'd have someone who loved them. There'd be soup kitchens. When last did you hear of a soup kitchen? You know, even in a dangerous city like New York or in LA, which has got more homelessness than you can imagine, have soup kitchens for the poor. I don't know whether we have anything like that. We don't have enough social workers. People struggle, man.
Well, I'm just looking at, firstly, I didn't know that's how you pronounced his surname.
Who?
Brent
Lindekew.
I thought it was Lindeg.
Oh, really?
But anyway.
You've always been laboring under that misconception.
Yes.
He used to work here.
Yes. Yeah. And in my head, I always thought Lindeg.
Oh, really? Okay.
So he's written an article as recently as the 13th of June, and he's explaining how this concept has actually worked.
As recently, it's like 11 days ago. He's a daily news source.
No, what I'm saying is that we first brought this up a month or two ago.
Yeah.
And Gareth said it wouldn't work. And here's an article stating a week ago.
Sorry, talk about the honesty place again.
That it's working.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay, well, good. Then I'm wrong, okay? And you and Fern, Brent, you two are all right. You're getting it right. You're more correct than I am. Forgive me, but it's also a question of, you look at the macro, and I've always said that most people get along, right? This idea that there is racism everywhere, for example, is just bullshit.
The quote is, well, we were blown away from the owner. South Africans are amazing. In one full month of operation, the only blip was that someone entered the shop, picked up an 80 rand jar of jam and dropped 10 rand into the box. We would like to believe that they'd paid all that they had at the time, and rather than steal it outright, they offered a small token.
And otherwise, they'd done well.
Did you need jam that badly?
I mean, what's wrong with
you? Yeah, it's like a jam emergency.
Gosh, there's Leanne with a 10 rand jam score.
You're never woken up from a nightmare going jam, 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 jam.
Ruining for everybody. 80 rand for jam. Huh? Where the hell does jam come from?
It's from the udders of a unicorn.
Sheepers, unicorn jam. 80 rand. Honesty Cafe, my ass. Fleecing. Oh, like.
You make jam and then tell me how much you're going to charge me for it.
Oh, also, I mean, is it a gallon of jam? I mean, sorry, I'm out of touch with what jam costs nowadays, clearly.
It might have been a bucket of jam.
Anyway, what did you get up to this weekend, Gugu? Anything interesting?
Not really interesting.
Well, that's fine. Thanks very much for your contribution. Did you want to say something else, or were you just blowing us off?
I was still continuing, Gareth. Thanks for that.
Right, go on.
Always cutting me off.
Go on, this better be good.
Yeah. No, I
now we've built it up.
First time, and it wasn't the best. It was like a fucking full-on rabbit with the head.
You ate a rabbit?
Yeah.
Where was this?
There's a friend of mine who
kind
has
of
like
uncivilized places are you hanging out
right?
in where they cook
like
a rabbit?
Like farmlands and stuff.
Where were you?
A friend of mine has like a little plot piece of land in the in the south.
And they farm rabbits.
Farms rabbits, but this
Lucas.
Rabbit...
It's not Lucas, is it?
Hey?
It's not a guy called Lucas, is it?
I've never heard of Lucas, thankfully.
All right. Lucas is this guy who clearly farms rabbits as well. So there can't be that many people farming rabbits. Clearly you know there are. All right?
Yeah, so when you buy it from the abattoir, it actually comes with the head.
Oh, shit.
With the teeth and the eyeballs, etc.
Oh, no. Really?
That's how it is in markets in Europe. You're not allowed to take photographs, but they're skinned.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So it's a whole rabbit just without fur.
Oh, my God.
It's horrible.
It looks like an organ.
I never need to see that ever in my life.
Tasty as fuck.
Yeah, I know. I believe so. That's very tender, right?
Right.
Very soft meat.
Yeah.
Ugh. All right. Well, that's exciting. You did, after all, you had something to tell us. Ugh. Eating rabbit. Yeah. I had such a, you know, I don't eat a lot of, I'm trying my best not to eat a lot of junk food. I had such a great pizza, though, over the weekend. Shit, it makes it worthwhile. Like when you haven't had one for a while. And it was so good. If you had to rank, now I only ever have margarita, which is why I can judge it much more harshly than most people.
Yes.
If you put too much other stuff on there, it doesn't taste like pizza. So if you had to rank the pizza joints in, let's say, Joburg, who would you put at the top and who would you put like at the bottom?
Easy for me. Top is Espresso.
Oh, really?
Which has been going for decades. It was the first non-house establishment in Parkhurst. And they're still going.
Yeah, they're good. And did they still do those 24-hour things as well?
No. You might be thinking of Cat's Pajamas. I'm not sure.
There was a place next door there that used to make pizzas at like 2 in the morning. I remember going there once.
And of course, Espresso is owned by Nico, who was on Survivor in the beginning days of South Africa. Yes.
He's still on Survivor.
No.
Yes, Panagiotopoulos.
Yeah.
He is.
Not that guy.
Oh, well, then you've got the wrong guy.
You guys are having a great conversation here. It's like Will's Potts.
No, you're thinking of someone else. I'm telling you.
No, on the scooter. Greek guy, long hair and a ponytail.
No.
He was on one of the first Survivors.
Oh, you mean he was a contestant?
Contestant, yes.
Oh, okay. I don't remember the contestants.
The interesting part was... He opened up a shop and the bank wanted to charge him a huge amount of interest for a loan. And so he said to them, literally, stuff you, and started this shop working on a cash-only basis.
Huh.
And it's still cash-only, although now things like Zappa have come in. Yeah. I used to carry a blank check in my purse just for going to Espresso.
Check.
Yes.
Check.
Because you were allowed checks and cash.
Wow.
And he's still going. He's 3 shops big and as consistent as ever.
Good for him. And you say their pizza's the best.
Yeah, I'd say.
All right. And at the bottom of your list?
One of those
Domino's.
Big, one of those
or
big chains where they just literally put white bread down.
Those ones with the layers. And then they stuff the crust with stuff.
I don't think we should go any further than there.
They use like a barbecue sauce on it.
It's like a sausage in the crust. And
I love Andichio.
Yes, very
that's
good.
That's a good pizza.
Wow, that's just cardboard.
No, it's so good. You're nodding, right? It's not just me.
Dude, I'm very specific with pizza. I love Andichio's.
Yeah.
But they don't do thick base.
That's what I like.
Mm. No, you can't have pizza without fucking thick base. So.
What's wrong with you?
What's your language, sir?
I mean, really, such a foul mouth
so
early in the
morning.
Such
a foul mouth, especially over something as trivial as thick base pizza.
And then you get the warmer pizza.
So what do you like then? Where do you get yours?
Roman's pizza comes standard with a damn thick base.
Why don't you just save yourself 70 rand and buy a loaf of blue ribbon and put it in your mouth at once?
Yeah, I'm not into the thick base.
Pretty much the same fucking thing.
Thanks, Ben.
Ben, have you got a preference?
Yeah, Gareth,
By the way, you want to start a serious argument, just bring this up at a dinner party or something. People get furious.
Imagine
about which
in
pizza
Italy.
I've kind of fallen out of love with my favorite pizza. It used to be a place in Craigle Park. Nah, it's not that good anymore. My default pizza is always the same. I've been quite loyal over the years. Colcacchio's pizza is the best for me because of
Colcacchio?
No, Colcacchio. We learned how to pronounce this, remember?
I didn't.
Yes, we've spoken to Michael, the owner, and everything. What's wrong with you this morning? You're causing traffic problems.
Colcacchio.
No, it's Colcacchio.
Comes in late, steals jam, tells me how to pronounce things.
But let me tell you, there's a warm-up pizza that's actually better than some shops, and that's Dr. Oetker, but it's specifically the Ristorante.
Dr. Oetker, isn't that some kind of remedy?
It sounds like it. But specifically the Ristorante range.
Oh.
They're about 60
rand. You buy them
rand
and you do them yourself?
Frozen, and you just pop them in the oven.
All right.
So good. Crispy base.
Hmm.
Their margarita is amazing. It's got a bit of pesto on it.
Last thing you need is to start your Monday being hungry for pizza. So I'm sorry. I apologize for bringing this up, but it was my weekend. Anyway, I'm going to Italy later in the year. And one of the reasons I'm asking is because I want to eat proper Italian pizza.
It'll be very different over there, though. It'll be more like what Gugu likes.
Hey, Michael from Colcacchio is on. Says, bunch of Philistines except for Ben. Just send me a message now.
Just say Leanne. Bunches all in there.
Yeah. Sia is not here this morning, if you may have gathered from the fact that he's been absolutely stone dead silent all morning. But that's because he's in Durban with his family. And apparently he's been to a soup kitchen that feeds people in Randburg. And there's a lot of this out there. Just because I don't know about it doesn't mean it isn't happening. So there's an email.
I would never have picked that you wouldn't be on the soup kitchen.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not I'm not the kind of person who knows a lot about soup kitchens.
The fact that you're so off the pace here.
Sorry. All right, so there we go, Fern. Look what you've got us doing.
Yeah.
Look at your email. Don't say we don't read the emails. It's such a... We've got so much feedback, and really, you can always get hold of us and tell us what's on your mind. You know, go through some stuff with us. And if you want to get through on the WhatsApp line this morning, or you'd like to get to us with a voice note, maybe you want to send us a tweet or whatever, 0797482090 is the WhatsApp line. All the rest you know, cliffcentral.com. Ruwayne says, hey G, I'm not sure if you've mentioned it, but did you talk about the new city Cyril wants to build, and what are your thoughts about it?
Please tell me that that's just another joke, right?
No, Ben, unfortunately it was real, but
it's not even worth talking about because it's another piece of shit joke from the African National Cancer. There's nothing to discuss here.
Well, Woody, there's your answer from Ben.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, we can't keep acknowledging when the BLF talk. We can't keep acknowledging the shit that Cyril says because he's running out of ideas.
Right. In any case, where do you build a... he sees central planning as this the solution here. Look at what everything central planning has given us that's a success is. And there isn't one example that's any good. Right? So what people, like these proto-communists, because they're not even real communists. They're like bacteria that are trying to evolve into real organisms. They think that if they just, the state has more control and they have more money, they can solve all the problems. Neither of those things have delivered any results with the ANC. So I'm kind of inclined to agree with Ben, Woody. Where would we put this city? Where is there a need for this city? The only reason people are moving to Joburg and Cape Town and Durban primarily is because Joburg, Cape Town and Durban already exist. If you build some skyscraper, high-tech, robot-riddled AI, you know, virtual reality super city in the middle of the Free State, that doesn't mean people are going to move to the Free State.
These dipshits can't even make clean power. Now they want to make a city with skyscrapers.
It's never going to happen. And remember, they can't even build one Eskom power station on time without billions disappearing into the cracks. I think Ben's right. It's never going to happen. It's just bullshit. Absolute bullshit. We should call it for what it is. And Michelle says, Fern, I hear you, but I'm with Gareth on this shop. I'd be rather surprised than have hope and be disappointed.
Well, be surprised. It's working so far.
Okay. That's Michelle. And then a lot of people saying that after last week's shows, where we were talking about pythons eating crocodiles.
Wow, what a thing that was.
Crocodiles eating zebras and huge lizards, Komodo dragons eating monkeys whole, and Gugu eating a rabbit. That basically we watch too much Nat Geo Wild.
Yeah.
But these things are going around on the internet.
Well, they're happening right now as we speak in some jungle.
All right. So, let's get to some news. You want some headlines?
Yeah,
yes, please. Do
it. 6:30, the first thing you need to know this morning. Rand Water says, Vereniging will be mainly affected by maintenance work on pipelines in the next few days. Gauteng residents have been urged to still use water sparingly as Monday sees the start of a 54-hour maintenance operation. Work will begin from Monday and will conclude on Wednesday. Officials will perform maintenance on a pipeline from Letabo to the Vereniging pump station. Rand Water spokesperson Justice Mohale, however, said water will be available. Tomorrow people should not panic, he said, because we are going to be purifying water as normal. There will be water. We don't encourage people to stockpile water because that will drain the system and create problems for us. So don't go and stockpile. He says there will be water, but just use it sparingly.
Well, in the shops, people have been just buying and buying.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you see this happening? Like panic buying?
Well, you know, like the thing came out last week, and we've had so many disasters in this, day-to-day disasters, let me rephrase that. We've had so many day-to-day setbacks where we've had no power and no water. People know the drill now. As soon as one of these messages come out in like a building WhatsApp group,
so people should,
it's straight to the shops and you buy anything that looks like a 5-liter bottle.
Yeah, good point. All right. So just, these guys are saying don't panic, but maybe, you know, how do you know you can trust them? In Cape Town, a man was arrested for attempting to sell fake diamonds. The man who tried to sell the diamonds for 40,000 rand was arrested on Friday. The Hawks received a tip-off and apprehended the man, confiscating the counterfeits. The Hawks, Nomthanda Zomnisi, said that the provincial head of the Hawks has cautioned the public to refrain from illegal trading because it's a crime that's punishable by law. You know you're not allowed to own uncut diamonds, and you're certainly not allowed to sell them.
But also, it's plural, diamonds, and he sold them for 40,000 rand.
He was trying to.
He should have put the price higher. No one would have known.
Yeah. Because
everyone knows that you pay more than that for a good diamond.
Maybe he's just a moron, but this dude, he's from the Northern Cape somewhere. He's appearing in the Springbok Magistrate's Court on charges of alleged illegal possession of fake diamonds and fraud. It's pretty easy to tell if a diamond's fake or not. It really is very simple. First of all, you just try and scratch glass with it. That's usually a dead giveaway because it's the hardest substance on earth. So cut or uncut, it should scratch glass. That's the first thing you need to know. The second thing you need to know about diamonds is that it's made of a singular substance. It doesn't, it's not like other gemstones which get their color from impurities and they have flaws in them and they have various other chemical elements and minerals in them. Diamond is just pure carbon. So any test that you do on it is going to reveal that it's pure carbon. It doesn't take a huge amount of expertise to identify a real diamond from a fake one. And if you smash one of those old Sprite bottles, it's fairly obvious those are not diamonds.
Yeah.
You know? That's probably what this guy was trying to trade with. I don't know. So we've done Joburg. We've done Cape Town. Now we go to Durban. KwaZulu-Natal police say investigations are on in the early stages following the discovery of a fetus on a Fly Safair aircraft.
What, just on the seat?
What?
In the overhead compartment?
So KwaZulu-Natal police are doing this. It's understood technical crew members found the grim finding while cleaning the waste management system before flying out to Joburg on Friday. Passengers were asked to disembark and management arranged for travelers to take another aircraft.
Maybe.
What? Yeah.
So a woman was obviously on the loo.
Yeah, she dropped out and she tried to flush it. And then it goes into the tank.
Oh, wow.
Maybe she didn't even realize.
Oh, you got to know. That's nonsense. So anyway, the Safair technical crew members who discovered the fetus are going to receive trauma counseling. The plane's
Not surprised. Can I would imagine? Have freaked my lid.
The plane's Kirby Gordon said, "We have a counselor on staff who we maintain in case anything like this happens. Mental health is important given the business we're in. The staff will start counseling."
I love how it's presumed that this counselor will be able to help people who've just seen something that they've never seen in their lives.
Ugh. But what a thing to find. Maybe it didn't even go into the... Maybe it got stuck in the, you know, the cistern, the toilet, the bowl. Ugh. Pretty horrific. So you think you had a bumpy flight. Patricia DeLille said no to new furniture for ministers. So she is cutting back on all the perks of being a minister. Apparently, she made her mark during the first sitting of Cyril Ramaphosa's new cabinet this week. Listen, I am kind of pleased that Patricia, even though she is a career politician and opportunist second to none, I'm happy she's in cabinet because she's going to kick things up and she's going to cause a lot of shit there. She's almost going to be like the watchdog Cyril wishes he had, because she doesn't have any loyalty to the ANC, right? And she's going to be sitting in these meetings because she's a fully-fledged minister. And she'll be saying to them all, hey, hey, you're not doing that. And because you imagine in those cabinet meetings, I mean, we all know that there's this code between the ANC people that we don't split, you know, on each other. And we don't talk about all the criminal activity that friends and family are involved in. Patricia's going to cause big shit in those meetings.
She's basically a spoon.
Exactly. So anyway, she said that the department, that's the Department of Public Works, is not going to be entertaining any requests for new furniture for offices or ministerial homes or parliamentary villages.
What will Joshua Dorr do?
I know. All that shocking furniture. Have you ever seen those pictures or video from when the president's entertaining famous people from overseas, or he's got important heads of state visiting, and you see the terrible furniture and the... They're like the shitty sofas that they've got in these enormous and incredible and beautiful state buildings. These buildings that are like over 100 years old. And you've got shitty, like, plastic-covered chairs.
But you know what? It's actually like that all over the world. So I can't say I like the taste of anyone who's done up like an Oval Office or anything like that. It's always crappy.
Anyway, so...
Is Joshua Dorr even a thing anymore?
I think so, yeah. It's still there.
I don't think so.
Not?
I think it got bought by Russell's.
Well, it's still Joshua Russell's Dorr, though.
I don't know, Gareth.
Style you want,
I've just,
and all the time you need. Ba-da-da.
I just Googled Joshua Dorr and russells.co.za comes up.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe we'll ask Anthea about that.
Maybe he became a drunkle and they had to do something.
He's not the uncle in the furniture business. Guess because he's dead.
At least two sources privy to the cabinet meeting. I wonder who these people are. Sources who just like leak this shit out to the media,
and it's their sole job.
Yeah, I mean,
they
good
just lurk around.
Thank God for them, because otherwise we wouldn't know about this stuff. But she or he said DeLille's concerns about cost saving were accepted, as these views were shared by the president. City Press understands DeLille raised concerns about the need to take cost cutting measures in the department seriously. She's said to be concerned about the high cost of buying new furniture with each administration, and believes a lot of money can be saved if the furniture, which is currently in ministerial homes and offices, is repaired instead of replaced. Well, can you imagine, like, these ministers? Because we know someone like Faith Mutambi, who was fired when beginning of this year, or just recently, I reckon she would have loaded up a Bidulph's truck with all the shit she could gather on her way out of the office. You could just see by her, her attitude is, I'm going to take whatever I can. It's my turn to eat. I reckon she would have cleared out her office. They would have found brown stains around where the pictures were. And that's it. Don't you think?
So she would put the honesty store in Melville out of business.
Big time. Now, I mean, there may be good South Africans, Fern, but this woman's not one of them. And then, this is great. So President Cyril Ramaphosa's campaign managers have slammed media reports that public protector Busisiwe Mkhwebane is investigating money laundering related to his 2017 ANC presidential campaign as bizarre and baseless. In a statement released on Sunday, CR17 campaign manager Bejani Chauke poured cold water in a Sunday Times report that quoted sources saying Mkhwebane had extended the scope of her probe to include possible money laundering spanning over three bank accounts. Mkhwebane was asked by the DA leader in November to investigate a 500,000 rand payment, at the time believed to have been paid by, Busasa, to Andile Ramaphosa, who's Cyril's son. It tracked the payment later, mentioned it in an affidavit by former Basasa auditor Piet Venter, and found it was actually a donation to the Cyril Ramaphosa campaign by Basasa CEO Gavin Watson, who, by the way, has still not gone to jail and is still not up on any charges. It seems you can really get away with anything in this country if you just donate to the right cause. So well done to Gavin Watson for identifying early on that you can bribe the ANC any way you like. Let's get into some sport with Ben. By the way, Bitcoin is over $10,000 at 10,688. And we're going to check in with Revix just a little later on. Louis Bass is our guy. We're going to talk to him. And Ethereum is over $305. That's amazing. It's a good week in crypto, maybe. Let's cross our fingers, hold our thumbs, and hope for the best. And let's get to Ben and see what's going on in the world of sport. Ben, over to you. What do you got for us today?
Well, Gareth, the misery is finally officially over for the Proteas of the World Cup. The Springboks start to gather ahead of their international season. And the latest from Super Rugby. Well, much like an old, dying, wheezing, limp, syphilitic horse that used to run but now is basically thrown to the knackers, the Proteas have been shot out of their World Cup misery. They lost again yesterday. Another gutless performance against Pakistan, who in many ways are kind of like the Proteas equal. They've got players with ability and talent. They've got temperaments that go up and down at a moment's notice. And they wear green. But unlike the Proteas, the Pakistan still play with some purpose and still have some balls between their legs. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I guess that was kind of a summation of what happened yesterday. But the Proteas have been utterly dogshit. Utterly. I mean, they started this tournament, as international bookies would say, probably around fourth favorites, right? They were definitely seen as a semi-finalist. They were ranked number three in the world. Look, the Proteas win games. That's what they do. They play one-day cricket. They win games. Mm-hmm. Has been this way ever since, for as long as we've been watching sports in the coloured clothing, right? Get to the World Cup and jeepers, as the shirt the fan. So prior to this tournament, I was trying to be positive because that's my whole new thing in sport, which I told you this year.
Yes.
And you really break that team down. You think, what more do these guys need? They've got the experience. They've got the opportunities. They've got the opportunity in front of them to do something very, very different and not completely fuck up a World Cup. And they went and did it. People are grappling for, like, what's the issue here? Is it the fact we've got a high school batting coach as our batting coach? Is it the fact that we've got this West Indian coach who doesn't live in South Africa? Is it the fact that we've got players who are over the hill? Sure, there are so many different things that we can split hairs about. But I genuinely believe that the Proteas, much like all of other South African sports right now, we have this massive crisis of culture. In the past, and I watched something yesterday which made me think, back in 1992, John T. Rhodes is talking about this his run out with Inzamam Ul-Haq.
Yeah, they've been playing a lot of those.
Yeah, it's nice to have flashbacks because there's nothing to be excited about now, right?
Right.
And John T. said, back in 1992, there's a referendum going on. If South Africa had voted no in the referendum, they would have been kicked out of the World Cup because they would have been supporting apartheid, right?
Right.
So here you've got guys who are playing with a bigger purpose. They're thinking, shit, guys, this could be our last match. This could be the last time we ever play international cricket.
Correct.
This is our only chance.
The stakes are high.
Exactly. And they're all in. They're all invested. And you look at that team. Ultimately, they got dicked by the weather, which is another thing that has been holding is their cricket back in big tournaments. But there's a real purpose. You look at our guys now, like, they've just come out of the IPL. There's not a lot of competition for places, let's be honest, because Umlik can stay there on sentiment, even the fact that he's just over the hill. You know, we don't have a lot of bowling
stocks.
Is he
over the hill? He's finished.
Yeah, completely. Okay. Unfortunately, I mean, we saw it in the beginning of this of the World Cup, and he's just a jittery old dude now. I know that sounds harsh, but I mean, like, you need to be at the best. He's an opening batsman. You need a very dynamic player. Anyway, different conversation. We don't have a lot of competition for places, so when injuries happen, we're literally just doing our best to hold things together.
Right.
And it's just a crisis of culture in many ways, because we've got this thing called Protea Fire, right, which is all about intensity and honesty and being just your real you, all this kind of shit. Then we've got Faf du Plessis saying, yeah, if we win or we lose, it's no real biggie at the pride of the tournament. So that is a massive contradiction. Everything that Faf has been talking about this World Cup has sounded like a contradiction. He's talking about the fact that, well, his youngish batting lineup hasn't been delivering. The only guy who's youngish, and we're talking about experience here, was Rassie van der Dissen, who's our best batsman in this tournament. All the other guys, all the experience in the world, bollocks, they've done
rubbish.
Nothing.
Yeah.
I think David Miller's got something like 170 one-day caps. Still off as fuck all. And I'm sorry to be using the tone of Gugu here with such foul language, but if you look at all the Proteus supporters in the last few weeks, we have nothing to be excited about. We're looking around going, what happened? I mean, we're looking around like Soviet officials during Chernobyl. It's like, how could this happen? What happened? What's going on? How can we solve this? And unfortunately, unlike Chernobyl, we need all the transparency in the world here. What is happening in the culture of this team? What is happening with the coaching staff down? Because as FFC said, it's just embarrassing now.
Yeah.
And finally, he actually gets a nail on the head here. It is. It's hugely embarrassing. The entire cricketing world right now is having a great time at the World Cup. I mean, just look at the World Cup over the weekend. Sri Lanka playing with heart, old retreaded players, but they seem to have some sort of a culture together because they managed to get all their attributes in one place to get a 20-run win over England. Afghanistan, right? What's Afghanistan have other than the Taliban opium and just a legacy of shit? They took India all the way to the death. India only won that by 11 runs. West Indies, their players are who knows what they're doing. New Zealand, if you play cricket in New Zealand, you're seen as a whoopsie because you can't play rugby.
Yeah.
They're a good side. West Indies took them all the way to the death. New Zealand won by 5 runs. 3 amazing games where there was something happening, Gareth. Every, like, the minnows were going at it. What happened yesterday? South Africa off a bug roll with the ball and again leave themselves far too much to do with the bat. They lost by 49 runs. All of these teams in this World Cup right now have something going for them at the very least. South Africa go out there, they all look like they've just found out their parents are divorced. It is not a good look. And as a fan, you sit here and you go, where, what, how?
You remember when Fikile Mbalula was talking about, I think, Bafana, and he said they're a bunch of losers.
Yeah.
You remember that?
I do.
Well, this is true for South African cricket. Like never before. Bunch of losers.
Look, I've been, as you know, an avid sports person. Sports my life. I don't think I ever felt more down about sport. I don't think I ever found there's less hope about sport right now. Mm-hmm. And I just look at the reflection of the country and the cultural fit of all these kind of things. What's really going on? Who are we as a country anymore? Who are we as a sporting nation anymore? There's all these bit part stories here and there. We've got dreadful administrators, we've got dreadful politicians, it's all seeping down into one big system. And I know players have got to be accountable and they've got to be better and they've got to have BMT. But what is our culture right now in all the sport? What is our culture in this country? It's just, it's not good. It's not healthy.
Well, it's mediocrity.
And mediocrity. Well, there we go. And it's just all over and over and over, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. And this World Cup is a great reflection of where I think a lot of the country is. Not just cricket, it's the mediocrity, it's the averageness, and it's just a lack of excellence. Sorry, I wish
on.
I was more eloquent,
yeah, spot
but
on.
I think it's just a great reflection of who we are as South African people.
Good for you.
We need to try redefine what our culture is, who the hell we are in this world, because I don't think any of us really know. We're all pandering to these stupid narratives. We've got just nothing going for us right now. Nothing.
It's time for some winning.
But we don't know how to win. The habit of losing is so entrenched in South African society right now. Anyway, the Springboks have gathered. They are gathering people from overseas. Now, there seems to be a greater understanding around excellence because players who do well overseas are being obviously included in the box setup. And there are a lot more players in this. So, and it's a very different sport. And rugby is a very different kind of game. And yes, I think the box will be competitive in this World Cup. I think Rassie Erasmus has got more time. He's got more resources. And I think it's easier for him to get a strong competitive unit together. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's a big kind of contingency from Europe being gathered already. They're in Pretoria for a basic conditioning kind of assessment kind of thing. So Marcel Kutsia, he's in the mix. Reinhard Alstad, Vincent Koch, Franco Mostert, Faftu Klerk, Willy Leroux, Kubus Reinach, Chisholm Colby, and Frans Steen. These are all guys that Rassie is believing is part of this whole World Cup thing. That's mm-hmm. a good thing. Obviously, Women's World Cup has been very disappointing for all the Banyana, but then again, you know, we're always very hopeful, we try to be very positive, but it's a completely amateur setup playing against women who actually do this for a living. So I think it's nice that the Banyana put themselves on the map, but now it's about actually getting something together. And again, it goes back to culture. What is our culture? What is our professional interest in this team? Who's supporting them? Where is government going to get involved in this? These are the big questions because they've got the first step. They've got to a World Cup. Now, what are we actually going to do with these girls? Because we can't just say, well, they played badly. They don't deserve to go. No, they made the first step. The second step needs to be made now. As in other African teams, Cameroon lost 3-0 to England and Nigeria 3-0 to Germany. So no African teams in the Women's World Cup as we go into the quarterfinal stage, into rugby over the weekend. And again, Super Rugby with absolutely no... I mean, it's the most predictable tournament in the entire world. It's even more predictable than F1. They have quarterfinals, Gareth, to confirm the fact that the top four teams in the log should be the top four teams in the semis.
Oh, really?
The quarterfinals are the biggest waste of time. Basically, a South African team will have to go to New Zealand to get dicked in order for the New Zealand team, who's been good the whole season, to get a home semi-final, which they've deserved from weeks ago. But credit to the Bulls, they went over there and they did a very, very well. They did very well against the Hurricanes, losing that one 35-28, which in many ways is a South African win, because that's all we can really look forward to. A plucky performance where we lose by less than 10, hopefully. The Hagewadith, who of course are the African champions from South America, they beat the Chiefs 21-16, so they'll get a home semi. The Brumbies beat a lackluster, dreadful Sharks team 38-13. And the Crusaders, they hammered the Highlanders 38-14. So if you're still in this tournament, you still care. Well, I'll tell you what, this weekend we've got the Hagewadith versus the Brumbies, and that'll be taking place at 1:05, 29th of June. And then the Crusaders take on the Hurricanes. So look for a Crusaders versus Hagewadith final there, and the Crusaders to win. I told you this thing's predictable. No point watching. Well, I might as well say it. Okay, F1, Mercedes 1-2 in France. And Lewis Hamilton says, don't blame me for a boring sport. Blame the sport itself. He wants more close counter racing between the cars. And that means the cars have to kind of be redesigned a little bit. The aerodynamics has to be changed so we do get a lot more racing and a lot more people who are doing things within slipstreams and out of slipstreams, that kind of stuff. Yeah, I know. Hugely exciting. Sorry, but there's not an ounce of positivity in this World Cup. Sorry, in this sport right now. Absolutely.
The whole sport.
Bollocks, nothing.
All right.
The SA Under-20 rugby team, they managed to beat Argentina, and with that, they claimed third place in the Under-20 World Cup. France won that one. And France are going to get stronger and stronger because, let's be honest, most of SA's best talent will go there after schoolboy level, because that's what happens. Euro stronger than the Rand. Roger Federer won again on grass. The 10th time in the run-up to Wimbledon, he won this tournament, which changes names all the time through sponsors. So it's just called the Wimbledon warm-up.
Right.
It's like Queens and it's like Argonne, and now it's, I don't know, whole hell. I don't know. So that's pretty much is it for your sport. You can keep watching cricket. Go on.
But don't put your money on South Africa for a long, long time.
Well, I think we've all learned that lesson a long time ago. But I think ultimately we need to be looking at what is the culture of South African sport right now? If you want to take out one takeaway there, because blaming Dale Benkenstein is just useless. Anyway, that's it for your sport this Monday.
Yes, she does. So hard for it, honey. That's right. How are you, Anthea?
Good morning. That was great.
Yeah, we'll try and do this properly. That's the original. That's Donna Summer. Okay, what do we got on the agenda this morning? The US Fed left rates unchanged.
Before we talk about that, can I answer your JD Group question?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Or your
sure
about Joshua Dorr question, which became JD Group.
We had an uncle in the furniture business. Do we still?
Well, he then got bought out by our uncle Marcus Yuster.
Uh-oh.
Steinhoff. So
we had a crooked uncle in the furniture business.
Yeah, and they
Martin Yuster.
Hi-Fi Corporation, Bradlow's, Russell's, yes. Incredible Connection.
Yeah.
So your kind of mass market furniture stores bought out by Steinhoff, and we know what happened there.
All right, so US Fed. Rates unchanged.
They left rates unchanged, but signaled quite strongly that they were prepared to cut rates. And all of this is
weren't
really...
Weren't we hoping for this rate cut now?
No, we weren't.
No.
We knew that they weren't going to raise interest rates. We weren't expecting a rate cut, but we were hoping that they would say that they're going to cut rates. I think it's a little bit too soon for them to cut rates. And really, they're doing it because they want to give the economy a boost. Okay. So just when you thought the economy was growing fantastically well, they're seeing signs of a slowdown. And so hence a potential rate cut. They're not saying they're going to. And then the European Central Bank left rates unchanged as well. I think for them it's the same story, you know, prepared to put in stimulus measures to keep the economy going. And there's so much going on with Brexit at the moment that none of the central banks want to do anything in Europe. So
Yeah, they're all waiting on tenterhooks.
For the British new Prime Minister, Boris Johnson.
Of course it's going to be Boris, but what, you know, when he is in, is he going to be able to deliver the Brexit that Theresa couldn't?
I don't know. What do you think?
Well, he has to.
He doesn't have a choice, does he?
Backs against the wall. All right, South African CPI, inflation rate. How are we looking?
Yeah, so inflation came out at 4.5% year on year, which is exactly where the Reserve Bank wants it. A couple of things there. 0.1% of the contribution was due to the petrol price rise, and so that won't happen again. But really where we're seeing inflation fairly sticky is the state-controlled prices, so water, electricity, property rates and taxes, which have all been escalating fairly quickly.
Yeah, I saw that on a bill that we had a guy called Joe Camino in here the other day, and Joe was showing us how those prices just go up. You don't even notice them.
Yeah, I got my notification last week that my rates were going up.
Same service, if not worse. Pay more.
Yes. So I think so the calculation we did was that if we don't get those state-controlled prices increases, we would have had inflation at 3.7%, which really tells you something. And so I think we're okay. It leaves the Reserve Bank with a bit of a quandary because we're hoping they'll cut rates at the next meeting. But actually, with CPI inflation kind of fairly steady, but the state-controlled prices still increasing, are they, aren't they? It's a real big question. I mean, obviously, you know my view. They should cut, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, we've talked about multi-choice quite a lot recently, and there are a lot less people with satellite dishes, but I did hear that multi-choice in Africa is doing very well.
That's right, yes. So they reported results last week. Core headline earnings per share was up 10%, which was very nice. Mm. South Africa did add, though, 500,000 subscribers, while the rest of Africa added 1.1 million subscribers, which is pretty much exactly their run rate that they've had for the last year. But I think the test of what's going on here is that premium subscriptions declined in South Africa by 7%, mid-market subscriptions rose by 2%, and mass market subscriptions rose by 23%. Mm-hmm. So you're seeing a real trading down from the premium subscriptions to the mass market, the lower end kind of essential bouquet, if you like, or whatever they call it. I mean, they're doing, so MultiChoice doing particularly well. They saw a 96% improvement in free cash flow to 3.3 billion rand.
Wow.
Yeah, so this is a great company now, kind of sitting very cash flush. I think the only debt they've got is capitalized finance leases, which is your car leases and buildings and that sort of thing. So, yeah, a net debt of 9 billion rand. I mean, I think you're going to see a really nice dividend come out of this next year. They're not paying dividend this year, but next year I'm pretty sure they would, if all things go as normal, let's say. And then, of course, their ex-parent company, Naspers, also released results last year, for the year ending March.
Mm-hmm.
They released it Friday afternoon, as they do. 25% rise in core profits, which was spectacular again. A couple of things, you know, I think this is a business that now is seeing their investments come to the fore. And what Naspers is actually doing, whereas before they used to invest in new businesses, you know, completely venture capital stuff, they're now investing in businesses that they see are making money already. And so we should see some decent profits come out of there. They're sitting on a net cash position of $6.3 billion, not rands, dollars. And they spent $3.3 billion on the investments for this year. So, doing particularly well. The interesting thing that came out of the results, or disappointing, not a huge issue, a little bit disappointing, is first of all, they've named the new business, which they're going to list in Amsterdam. It's Prosus, I think that's how you pronounce it, Prosus.
It's a terrible name.
Well, that's exactly what the analyst said.
Terrible name.
Whoever came up with that should be taken outside.
Well, analysts should be careful too, because they get anal in their name. So they.
Yes, we do remind them of that every once in a while.
Right.
And then they've decided they're delaying their Dutch listing until September of this year. And it's not a big deal. Normally when this happens, we're quite wary and we want to know why. But in this case, Naspers have said it's simply a matter of administration. You know, a couple of things. It's not great. A couple of things weren't registered on time. It's an admin issue, really. No, mm-hmm. no big deal. And then the other only kind of noteworthy report that we had last week was Cup. Reported a core headline earnings per share decline of 8% for the full year. Very, very disappointing. The share was down 14% one day when they released these results. It's just incredibly disappointing, especially considering that they had growth of 6% in the first half of the year. So, of course, you've seen that would have been, you know, and Cup is not one of those that has perfect linear revenues and profits through the year. One half of the year is obviously better than the other.
Mm-hmm.
But if you average it out, if you've 6% growth in the first half of the year and then 8% decline for the full year, you can see that the second half was probably, what, 14% down? Very disappointing. But, you know, like, what do you expect, though? You know, there aren't many companies that are going to escape an economy that is struggling so badly, and especially not in kind of where retailers are involved, or consumers, I should say, need to be spending. I mean, that's the real thing with South Africa at the moment, is that retailers have cut to the bone, consumers under pressure. Unless we get this economy kickstarted, these companies, there's not much else they can do, quite frankly.
That's right, just to keep their heads above water. All right, one last thing. Facebook, and we'll talk to Louis Bass in a moment about this in the Revix update this morning. But Facebook announced their cryptocurrency Libra.
That's right.
And how's the market responded so far, a couple of days on?
Well, I'll tell you, it really, a rising tide lifts all boats, right? Because Bitcoin broke through $10,000. Ethereum was up. All the cryptocurrencies mm-hmm. were up on the release of potentially a competitor. I didn't really understand that. But yeah.
Well, it's good so for the whole ecosystem, right?
Is it?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't Libra just competition for Bitcoin?
Well, no, because what Libra is going to do is it's going to bring a bunch of people who weren't involved or interested in cryptocurrency into the orbit of that stuff because of Facebook being a distribution mechanism.
That's right. And it's,
I mean, just think about how that adds millions upon millions of people to proximity with cryptocurrency, which they wouldn't have had before.
Indeed. And one of the things that Facebook said is that they really are targeting the unbanked in the world.
That's right.
Which is difficult because generally the unbanked sit in areas where internet connection is slow or expensive.
But if they're on Facebook.
Exactly. Yeah. There you go. And that's exactly what it is. I mean, it was quite telling that they said the blockchain mechanism was going to sit in Switzerland and that was going to be called Calibra.
Mm-hmm.
And that Mark Zuckerberg would have nothing to do with it. I think that was, you know, with all
this. That's always a positive sign.
They made a point of saying that.
All right.
And so, yeah, I think the currency will be launched officially at the beginning of next year.
Thank you, Anthea.
My pleasure.
That's all
we
got time for this morning. Anthea Gardner and The Money Shot. Coming up in a little bit, we will be checking in with Louis Bass. He's going to be joining us to give us an update on what's going on Beyond Bitcoin. That's next. And in a short while, we'll also check in on Let's Be Honest, and Yvonne Johnson will be popping in for the Marketing Achievement Awards. We thought we'd talk to her, plus a couple of calls coming in and some other cool stuff. All of that on the way. Is Louis there? Cool. Cool. Louis, how's it, man?
Hey, man. How are you?
Good. Excellent. Louis Bass is one of the founders of Revix, and we've been talking to him and to Sean for the last couple of weeks. So I don't know if you heard our discussion, Anthea, and my discussion around Libra. And obviously this morning, prices are responding quite nicely, and I don't want to turn this update into just a price update, but Bitcoin's at $10,755 and on the way up, and Ethereum at $306, Litecoin $135, some other good prices there too. Are you guys excited this week?
Yes, of course.
All right.
No doubt.
So tell me about the effect of Libra, because I tried to explain it from my very unlettered, unschooled point of view, but you could probably add some meat to the bones.
Yeah, of course. Libra is a very interesting setup at this time in the crypto market. Essentially, it shows quite a few things, actually, and also brings up a lot of concerns in some parties. But What Libra really does show is the power of the technology really coming through and the adoption of a lot of the larger companies in the space, like kind of giving greed to that technology.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I mean, it brings with it quite a good upward trend in the actual crypto prices. But a lot of that is speculation. But some of it actually, it will turn out to be long-term value. If you really think about what Libra is really doing, is it's proving the use case of currencies that are borderless. And it's got a lot of big players behind it. So I guess, I mean, there are so many different ways in which this could affect the market long term, which is why, I mean, at Revix, what our main strategy is to just diversify across those, because it's almost impossible really to pick a winner or to know. So, yeah.
All right. Well, on that note, there have been a lot of hacks and breaches in the crypto space up to now. And this, I think, has probably done some damage to the public's opinion on crypto investing. Have you guys done a lot of research in that? In that area, have you found that that's people's opinion? Or do you think that you represent some way of them mitigating those risks?
Of course. An interesting thing to note with investors is usually when investors talk about risk in an asset class or risk in any type of investment,
mm-hmm.
None of those risks actually include losing your investment completely. even with Steinhoff, the value of the asset may plummet to almost zero, but you still own the share, right?
Right.
Over the last while, one of the things that I think has scared investors the most about the crypto market is the concept of completely losing your investment. Which is not actually such a new thing. I mean, a lot of people think this is a very crypto-esque thing, but a lot of people forget about the financial crisis in 2008, where a lot of banks were mismanaged and actually went under, and people actually did lose their investment. So I do think that, I mean, we've seen at Revix, we do see a lot of people who do come onto the platform and ask, ask a lot of questions, want to actually speak to you on the phone, which we sometimes do. Really just to understand how we mitigate those. And we do, probably most of what we do is around mitigating those fears, because we really believe that for this asset class to move into the mainstream, a lot of these, a lot of the hacks of the past and a lot of the assets that were lost were all learning opportunities for the market. All, I guess the key reason why they happened over time was the unprecedented growth in value of crypto assets over the last 10 years, essentially thrust at times teams of two or three people that were just having a hobby platform into holding billions of dollars of assets, which they were never ready for. So we really welcome this new kind of wave of bigger tech moving into the space, really developing good custody solutions, good things that other businesses such as Revix can leverage off. So I'd say a lot of our work goes into that.
And then you welcome a lot of questions from people, because if they're going to invest, it's only right that they invest in something they understand. What would you say an investor should look out for in this space? What are the obvious red flags, and what are the good signs?
Yeah, I mean, that's also quite a difficult one. I'd say number one is just keep your wits about you. In the past, a lot of the big red markers, turn out to be just straight up scams. Which usually pretty easy to tell apart, but when you're like leading a busy life and you want to get around to investing, but you're not 100% sure like when or what, or you don't have anyone to kind of guide you, those are usually the main things to look out for. And the easiest way to tell is, what does the brand of this company look like? I mean, can you root the people behind the company to real world profiles? Can you see, are there any publicly listed companies backing them? So, from Revix's perspective, once again, that's what we really strive to, is really strive to put, faces of people who are taking, are taking responsibility and the risk within an asset class that's so risky. So our investor Savvest is publicly listed. And I mean, those kind of brand things, in the same way that a bank protects its brand.
Mm-hmm.
This is not something that we were kind of doing fly by night. This is something we're really investing a lot of money into, making sure that we are secure, making sure that, we are a trusted party. So I would say just do a bit of research on the platform before you actually invest in them.
Well, thanks for updating us this morning. I hope it continues to be a good week from a price point of view. And we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Gareth.
Thank you, Louis. There's Louis Bass from Revix and our Bitcoin update for the morning. It's obviously not just Bitcoin, but you can find out about all the cryptocurrencies. Nice thing about going onto Revix, and I signed up just the other day, is you get an index of all the different cryptocurrencies, which they rebalance every month to make sure that you're getting the best possible deals and you're not missing out on any massive upside. So that's a pretty good way to start your Monday, especially if you are an investor in cryptocurrency. When we come back in a moment or two, we'll talk about being more honest in our language, talk about some of the news stories Leanne has found for us, and a whole lot more.
This is CliffCentral.com.